Welcome to the Life of the Visual Storyteller podcast. My name's Roger Overall. I am a visual storyteller, and thank you for listening. This is episode 23, by the way, and it is the 23rd of July, 2015. Now, I saw a tweet the other day, and it read something along these lines, and it related to business, and it read, good, cheap, fast, choose two. And part of me really likes that. That's a really succinct way of getting value across to a client. I mean, you can have something that's good, you can have it cheap, but it's not going to be fast. And you can have something cheap and you can have something fast, but it's probably not going to be very good. So which two do you want? And it gets across that sense of compromise that you can't have it all when you are trying to get something. And I think that's kind of a nice, and it was just an interesting way. I do wonder, though, well, part of me actually sort of thinks, well, when it comes to creative work, shouldn't we really be saying to the client, here are the three things that you have to choose. These are the three boxes you have to tick when you're going to get work from me. The work will be good. It may be outstanding even. It will cost what it costs, and it will be ready when it's ready. So I think wouldn't it be great if we could market ourselves along those lines and we get clients to buy into those three things? The work will be good, it'll be ready when it's ready, and it'll cost what it costs. In the meantime, good, cheap, fast, choose two is a fun way of putting it. My concern, though, is that when it comes to creative work, that clients have maybe stopped caring about good. Instead, good enough is... well, good enough. Maybe in the way realm of the creative world, maybe the three things they want are good enough, free, and now. Something to ponder. I think photographers in particular will recognize that. Now, if we have arrived at that situation where clients are thinking, well, it'll be good enough and I want it now and it has to be free, then we need to do something about that as creatives. We need to start doing something to change our situation, because that's an unsustainable position to be in, really, isn't it? You can't make a business out of that. So I have three steps. I have a three-step plan, and it comes with this caveat: it might not work. But look, this is something that I'm pondering myself. So step one, don't blame the client. It's pointless. You can't do anything about it anyway. And you know what? It's not really their fault, because if they think creative work is cheap, it's because we've told them it's cheap. I mean, the market is flooded with creators providing absolutely stunning work for bargain basement prices. You know, and you can't blame them either. I mean, look, you don't know what their circumstances are. Maybe they don't need to make any money from their work. Maybe their spouse is working. Maybe they have a part-time job, or maybe they have a full-time job and they don't need to pay all their bills with their creative work. Now, that's frustrating if, like me, you do have to pay all your bills with creative work. So, for instance, photography is one of the things that I earn my money with. But there's a lot of free photography out there, and there are a lot of people undercutting the prices that I charge. And I charge my prices not on I want to be a millionaire. I charge my prices and I base my prices based on this is what I need to live. Oh, by the way, if you can hear some sounds in the background again, that's my daughter, Emily, who is sitting opposite me, and she is allowed on the computer opposite me for the duration of this podcast. So any peculiar sounds are probably hers, unless you hear some clicking noises, because the dog is with us as well. And once she starts wandering around the place, she has got the clickiest claws on the planet. It is remarkable. We can have them clipped. Doesn't make a blind bit of difference. She is, it's like, I don't know, it's like she's got 20 stilettos on. Is the only way I can describe it when she starts traipsing around the place. Anyway, look. So when it comes to the client wanting everything for nothing and other creatives flooding the market with great work that they're undercharging for, these are things you can't really do anything about. These are things that make up the circumstances you're in. What you can do something about is you. If you concentrate on you, then at least that's something that you can do something with. You can bring about change within yourself and within what you're doing. So that's where the solution lies, within you. The second step, I think, is to create distinct work. Of course, it's going to be brilliant. You create brilliant work. I know that. You're excellent at what you do, but it needs to be distinct as well. It needs to be peculiar to you. It needs to be nobody else can produce it. You're not copying anybody else. You're doing your work based on your own vision of the world, and you're expressing it using your own voice. Now, these are really difficult things to do, I have to say. I mean, it takes a lot of work to figure out your vision and your voice. These are two distinct things, and some people take decades to do them. Some people figure it out very quickly. Regardless, you have to do it. You have to figure out how you see the world, what your interpretation of the world is, what your value set is, and how you're going to express that through your work in your unique way, so that your work is uniquely you. That's really important. Third step is to learn how to communicate effectively why you're the best fit for your client's needs. Now, that means you've got even more work to do, because you genuinely have to figure out why you are the best fit. So I think a good start is for you to work with clients who share your value set, who share that vision that you have of the world. Or another way to do it is to go about looking at what would be useful and valuable to your clients that you can deliver to them, so that you're matching what you can do to a specific need that they have. Yeah, they might need photography, or they might need an illustration, they might need a video. But what is it that you can bring to the table that is just that bit extra? And you need to be able to communicate that as well. And if you can do that, my feeling is that you can start to turn the tide in your favor. Like I say, there is no guarantee these three steps will work for you. It's merely a three-step process that I find quite appealing. And I can't say this enough. You know, don't put any stock in anything I say. My track record is absolutely abysmal. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Hello, welcome to the hidden part of the podcast. Come in, sit down. I'm in exceptionally good mood today because I've spent a lot of time with my daughter over the past 48 hours. We've had a really good time together. And like I say, if you hear any noises in the background, it is Emily who is on the computer opposite me while I record this podcast. Today, I want to talk very briefly about food and the misconceptions that there are about certain foods, or the misinformation, or the misunderstanding, or the confusion, or it's just a mess. So here's what sparked this in my mind. I was eating, or I prepared yesterday, a fruit salad for Emily and myself, and I posted it online, and I made the comment that looking at this bowl of fruit, I had some issues, because other than the pears, none of the fruit in there, the grapes, the bananas, the peaches, the oranges, were indigenous to Ireland. So in terms of their just transport footprint on the world, that's not a good thing. And then the other thing is the pears, indigenous to Ireland, great, but do you know what? They actually aren't in season at the moment. So it really was a bit of a confusing thing to look at. And it got more confusing when a couple of people started to comment on the Instagram post about the impact of fruit sugar on your blood levels, and that is, it's not necessarily a good thing. That there seem to be some suggestion that eating fruit might not be that great. Now, a couple of people who commented have diabetes. Now, I have no skin in that game, so I can't really comment very much. Now, I have done a little bit of digging, and I'll talk about that in a second, but I just want to... Oh, dear. I have to see what these videos are, because Emily is, she just loves them, and she's always laughing. So they must be humorous. It must be humorous to a 10-year-old. But then sometimes I feel like I'm a 10-year-old stuck in the body of a 47-year-old. So maybe that will, maybe I'll enjoy them as well. But anyway, what I wanted to say was, I need to preface this, what I'm about to say next, by saying, I don't know enough. And it's one of the reasons I am looking more and more into these food things, because I'll give you another example. So gluten is this thing that is now seen as bad. However, I've seen a very interesting, it was a video, in fact, about how gluten isn't necessarily bad for the majority of the population, but somehow we've got into our heads that gluten is bad. Equally, fructose, which is the sugar that we get from fruit, has a massively bad reputation. And when you go online, it's really easy to find articles. Here I am trying to say something serious, and I've got little Miss Giggle Pants over there. Anyway, look, what I'm trying to say is, if you go online, and it's really easy to find articles that will scare the hell out of you when it comes to fructose. But the thing is, when you read them carefully, when you read what is actually being written, a lot of it is, if you have too much fructose, that's bad for you. Well, too much oxygen is bad for you. I mean, too much water is can be bad for you. It's so, and also, by definition, the phrase too much X, we don't need to finish the sentence then, do you? You know it's going to be bad for you. That's what having too much is all about. Too much is a bad thing. You don't need to end the sentence, is bad for you. So it seems that there's a little bit of an alarmist thing going on. And it's made me, did you hear that growl? That's our dog. Keela is here as well. I mentioned that she has the clickiest feet in the world. If she does suddenly get up and get involved, which she likes to do. When I start podcasting, she usually gets up from her spot and comes over to see who I'm talking to. she likes being involved. Anyway, look, getting back to the point I'm trying to make. If you go on the internet, you'll find, it seems to me, arguments and information backed up by research, it seems, to support pretty much any position, even if the two positions that you are looking to support are completely diametrically opposed to one another. So when it comes to food, I've decided this whole food space is ripe for some satire. It's ripe for some comedy. It's ripe for some cartooning. Because, I mean, just look at diets as well. Vegans and the people who are doing the paleo. And then you've got the raw plant crowd, which actually might be vegan. No, vegans are allowed to cook their food, aren't they? Oh, gosh, I've probably insulted every single group that there possibly could be, because I know by going online that these people get very, very, very fanatical about what they do and their particular diet and their particular food. I'm going to call it religion, because it's tantamount to that. So there's a whole space that I think is really interesting that could be looked at. There's even a recent study now that contradicts a lot of what people are saying about sugar. And it all, as far as I can tell, boils down to moderation. And again, it comes back to that phrase, doesn't it? Too much of X. Well, do you know what? Anyway, I'm seriously going to build something around this. It'll be blog-based, and I'll let you know when it launches. And it does tie in with the interest I have in health and keeping us healthy as creatives. And it's not going to be a website that says you should do X, Y, or Z, because just like this website, what the hell do I know? But it is going to be a website with regular cartoons, regular insight to help me understand certain things that are being said in the world of food. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.